Ocean FM's Agri Week with John Lynch.
Well, hello there and welcome along to another edition of Agri Week. It's John Lynch in studio for the next 30 minutes or so. On this week's show, the government are being accused of being intent on penalising the agri sector at every turn when it comes to the climate change agenda. We find out more. Northwest farmers are encouraged to participate in a new online environmental survey that has been conducted by the Department of Agriculture. We have further reaction to the pandemic, that is illegal dumping on farmlands. This time, the problem results in County Sligo. We hear how the establishment of the Irish Forest Owners Group, a natural producer organisation which will support forest owners in management of their products, will do little to resolve the many issues that's impacting communities in the Northwest. The Irish Natura and Hill Farmers are calling for the red tape to be removed when it comes to the control of dogs and the protection of sheep. All that in the follow-on from that horrific attack which occurred in Sligo just a couple of weeks ago. We'll hear from Colm O'Donnell on that subject a little bit later. So plenty to come on Agri Week. We do hope that you can stay with us.
Ocean FM's Agri Week, where farmers across the Northwest have their say.
Yeah, we've got a busy show on the way, so let's get straight down to business. The government are being accused of being intent on penalising the agri sector at every turn when it comes to the climate change agenda. Those are the views of the independent TD, Michael Fitzmaurice. Now, he was reacting to recent comments by the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, and the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConlogue, at the Irish Farmers Association's AGM. The Roscommon-East Galway TD says Fianna Fáil now seem to be greener than Éamon Ryan and the Green Party. The only thing they're missing is Micheál Martin going round on a bicycle. The rurally based TD added that Fianna Fáil are intent on using the climate change agenda as a stick to beat farmers with.
Look at what the Taoiseach said, John, in relation to agriculture. You'd imagine he's greener than Éamon Ryan without a bike. The Taoiseach basically talked about that there's huge change for the farming community over the next decade, was the words he used. On top of that, he also talked extensively about the climate agenda, and the big thing that's what he honed in on as well was that the new CAP policy will be tied into the forestry policy. And I would have a fear that from the area that your listeners are in, from Donegal down to, you could say, down to Clare and the West Coast especially, that they are earmarking. No one has a problem with their own fair share of doing things and helping out in any way. But we will not, in the West of Ireland, become the scapegoat for, be it the dairy sector in one part of the country or other sectors in the east of the country, and the West of Ireland become a theme park. And I think a bit of realism needs to come into it. The Minister for Agriculture also spoke in detail, about the climate agenda and the biodiversity strategy. And, if you look at the biodiversity strategy that's being mooted in Europe at the moment under the new CAP, there would be worrying days ahead for especially the people on the likes of the Ox Mountains or the mountains in Mayo, and there would be of a what we would call a boggy nature or peaty nature, where sheep, the finest of sheep and lambs, is reared, and farmers and families live. And I think that this whole thing is getting a bit, it's going too far, in my opinion. That we are the solution to the country's problems if we're worked with. But there's no point talking down to farmers and basically stalling them on their progress at what they're at, as well as them being the carbon sink for the people in the cities right around this country. Because let's face it, if you're living in a city, there isn't an awful lot you can do. Cars are going by. They're using electricity. They're using water. They're using all the things that's actually nearly generated from the rural areas. By a person living, you're putting up carbon. But I do not want to see the agricultural sector being the scapegoat of resolving Ireland's issues. And even with the Éamon Ryan's comments the other day, that we'll have to get basically a bit tougher on agriculture when you looked at the emissions for the year. The reason that transport was down in the last year was because of the pandemic. Like, we have decisions to make. Do we want people working or do we want them looking out a half door and saying, oh, we have a lovely green country? We have a nice green country as we are. We pride ourselves and we show ourselves in the ads that Fáilte Ireland promote, be it a Mayo Mountain lamb or a Sligo lamb or Donegal lamb. We show all these pictures to the tourists and they think it's beautiful. And why are we trying to crucify the same people that's actually providing us with those fantastic pictures?
Mm. And now these comments from the Taoiseach at the AGM comes hot on the heels in relation to a lot of concerns that's out there as well about the BEAM scheme and that Ireland, Irish farmers may have a large percentage of money to pay back here if their emissions are found not to be in keeping with what Europe require. So you could be looking at a carrot and stick approach, but it seems that there's an awful lot more of the stick being used here than the carrot when it comes to dealing with Irish farmers on these issues.
Yeah, well, in my opinion, the BEAM scheme needs to be kicked down the road for another year. No one envisaged when they were signing up to the BEAM scheme that we were going to have the pandemic that has occurred over the last year and will go into most of this year. There's no point in we cutting ourselves, even with no matter when vaccines come. And, you know, I know and I welcome that the minister has wrote to Europe to see can we get an extension on it. Because, first of all, the paperwork that has come out is very confusing for those farmers in the BEAM scheme, those that signed up to it. And second of all, as you rightly pointed out, because there wasn't the opportunity, be it in, you know, markets were closed down for a while, a lot of farmers may not or would not have the same faith in selling online. And the same opportunities wasn't there to cut down on their stock that would be in any normal year, and that's why it needs to be kicked out for another year to give them the choice of taking, be it this year or next year, to be able to adhere to that. But it is a worrying sign when you look at the BEAM scheme. Ireland put in 50 million and the EU put in 50 million, but a clause in the EU's funding was that it would be a reduction, which, in my opinion, you know, this is the big game that they're all looking at, but they don't want to say it straight out because they know it's not a very positive thing to go saying. You know, like Eamon Ryan, we all know that the Greens have their own fantasies and their own ideological world. But it would be a lot harder for the likes of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil to be knocking on doors if they go down this road and keep siding with this agenda that's going on at the moment.
And you would feel that this agenda is disproportionately impacting on maybe beef farmers and very much disproportionately impacting on farmers who would be in the northwest and the west of Ireland and that very much seem to be thrown under the bus in order maybe for other types of farming such as dairy farming to survive and prosper.
Well, if you look at, say, we're trying to encourage young farmers in to farm. And if you remember back when Ireland joined the EU, there was 300,000 farmers. We have now approximately 120,000, 130,000. That's a ferocious drop since we joined the EU. And we are trying to constantly encourage young farmers, be them in Donegal, be them in Sligo, be them in the Fair, Belmullet and Mayo, or be them in Cork, to encourage young farmers to get into farming. If they want to farm, be it a dairy cow, or if they want to feed or a suckler or sheep, or if they want to go at something different, they're entitled to do that. But the one thing we need to do is keep encouraging them, not be telling them, well, you won't be able to do this, that, or the other, or make a viable living. And I would worry that when you look at the biodiversity strategy that they are talking about in Europe, which Micheál Martin has bought into in a big way, listening to his ideas on the climate. It will, when you look at the type of land that's required for that, it will put an undue burden, in my opinion, on farmers from the northwest and the west.
Ocean FM's Agri Week with John Lynch.
Next on the programme, I want to briefly return to an item that we covered a few weeks ago, and if you are tuned our way, you would have heard the views of the Leitrim councillor, Sean McDermott, in relation to the pandemic that is illegal dumping. The Leitrim councillor backed calls for tougher legislation when it comes to preventing illegal dumping, particularly on farm lands. Now, he supported the seizing of vehicles that were caught in the act. Here's a quick reminder of what Councillor McDermott had to say.
I think that it would make sense to follow these people up and make them pay, and it's one way of eradicating the scourge on our rural areas of where the stuff has been tipped on a regular basis. And I raised it on many occasions in the past, especially down there in beauty spots around Glenfern. The Forest and Lake was an example where there was stuff being tipped, and we knew where it was coming from. It's a worry. And it even that issue was even raised at our municipal district meeting yesterday, John, where dumping and litter in general was raised. There's a huge issue, and whether it's dumping from a lorry or a trailer or the boot of a car, you know, it's dumping, and it should be stamped out.
Well, now that it's emerged that trailer and van loads of rubbish, including mattresses, fridges and electrical goods, are being dumped on land in scenic areas of Sligo, and innocent landowners have been held responsible. Those are the views of a North Sligo councillor who says that in such cases, landowners must be treated as victims. The Fianna Fáil councillor Donal Gilroy says it's not fair or just that innocent property owners should have to shoulder the responsibility of the clean-up cost. He says if this continues, landowners won't allow public access to their land in scenic areas, they'll withdraw their consent, and that will make Sligo a less attractive place for visitors and indeed locals.
The law with regard to dumping is a strange law in that the victim, who is the landowner, whose land the property, the rubbish has been dumped on, is the person who is liable for it and who can be prosecuted. It's something that may be above the level of Sligo County Council. It may be something we may have to send to a higher level to. It may be national laws that need to be amended. But I'm looking to see if there's any way within our own bylaws we can assist the property owners who are victims of illegal dumping on their property. I've had particularly bad cases of it in a certain area in North Sligo where huge amounts, trailer loads and van loads of rubbish, we have mattresses, fridges, stuff like that. And when you see electrical goods being dumped, you just wonder why. They can all be dumped for free in at Finislin, in at the Green Star unit there at Finislin. So it seems crazy that people would dump electrical goods, but they're doing it on a regular basis. I've had one landowner speak to me recently where he's actually, there's a sort of an unofficial walkway through his land, but it's not any right-of-way or anything like that, but there's an old path, an old probably pre-famine times pathway through his land. And he said he's actually thinking of digging it up because people are coming in with vans and trailers dumping on his private property. And at the end of the day, when it's reported to the likes of myself or directly to the council, and we go to try and do something, the first thing we're told, well, the landowner is responsible for cleaning it up. They have to be treated as a victim rather than the person to blame, because they're most certainly not the person to blame.
Ocean FM's Agri Week, number one in the Northwest for farming matters.
Now, the IFA chairperson in Sligo is urging all farmers to participate in a new online environmental study that's been conducted by the Department of Agriculture. The survey is looking for farmers' views and input into the programme, which some is describing as the new REP scheme. Now, all this is ahead of its rollout. Kathleen Henry is the Sligo IFA chairperson. She says it's vital that all farmers have their say.
It's really important from the point of view that, I guess, farmers, if they want to have their say in what this new pilot scheme is going to be like, and puts their input into it, has their voices heard, and that people will be able to participate. Now, hopefully, the problem is that if we do this, that the department will actually listen to the farmer. We don't want another scheme that's being developed, like the bean scheme and all the associated problems that has been with it, even though we've got a six-month extension in relation to it. But we want to make sure that the farmer has a say, the farmer has an input into it, and that in turn the department will listen to it. Because we need to make sure that this scheme is simplified, and we need to make sure that it's a scheme that's workable for farmers, but that is also funded to provide for our farmers having to undertake the various I suppose measures in this scheme, that the money is going to go into the actual farmers' pockets, because after all, the farmers does look after the environment and care about the environment. So that is why we're appealing to all farmers to go and online to the Department of Agriculture website and take part in this survey to have their input into what looks like is going to be the new pilot scheme in relation to environmental issues. I don't know, will it be as good as the old REP? but unless we have our say, then there's going to be no input from farmers.
And there is a fear that there will be significant differences between this scheme and the REP scheme, which was the front runner to it. However, if farmers now have the opportunity to have their voices heard, to have an input into it, and there's no point crying over spilt milk when the scheme is finally formalised and up and running, now is the time for farmers to have their say.
Yes, now is the time for farmers to have their say, and it's important that they participate in this online survey. Hopefully the farmers will be able to do it without too much difficulty. It's a series of questions that you have to complete. Some of them, though, is very much, it's like about farmers' attitudes and stuff like that. Sometimes you feel like saying on some of the questions, what about the department's attitudes? I suppose the main thing is that it's completed by the 26th of February. That is the closing date for this survey. And as I said, hopefully, if we do participate, and this is the big thing, that the department will take on board our inputs. And we don't know what is going to happen with these inputs. Hopefully, the department will publish maybe the outcomes and the results of the survey, that is not just shelved and like just a box ticking exercise. We need to be able to be seen that the farmers can have an active say in it, because at our AGM last week it was announced that this was going to be happening, that there was going to be consultation and whatever else, and they wanted the farmers' input. So hopefully that they're serious about it and that they will listen to the farmers' say, because after all, if the department designs a scheme that is unworkable, then they won't have farmer buy-in, and that unfortunately will lead to, farmers not participating in these environmental issues, which will impact on the government's outlook in relation to how they're going to transform the environment into the future. And farmers have always looked after the environment, so they want us to play their part in it, but we also need the department to play their part in it.
Ocean FM's Agri Week, number one in the Northwest for farming matters.
Well, next on Agri Week, to the thorny issue of forestry and the establishment of the Irish Forest Owners Group, a national producer organisation that will aim to support forest owners in the management of their products, will do little to resolve the many issues that are impacting communities in the Northwest. Those are the views of a representative from the Save Leitrim movement. The IFA have been calling for a group like this to be established over a long period of time. However, Councillor Justin Warnock from Save Leitrim, a group that are fighting for the survival of rural communities which are being impacted by afforestation, says programmes like the establishment of a group like this comes too late for many small forestry farmers in this particular region.
Well, it's a bit late for many forest owners or small forest owners that are in Leitrim, because when they clear fell their land, there was no money left to refence it and replant it, which there's an onus on them to do. By law, once you take land out of agriculture use and put it into forestry, it has to be kept in forestry. So we have situations all across Leitrim where land has been abandoned, and there are other forestry companies now coming in and picking on the bones of those farmers. So I wouldn't see this as a great take for Leitrim anyway. They'll not make a lot out of it in Leitrim, because there are a few farmers. We have 240 farmers with land planted in Leitrim out of three and a half thousand farmers in Leitrim, so it's only small pickings in Leitrim, and then you're talking about very small farms. So I can't see this have been any. It's a red herring, you know. It's just they're just flying a kite, I think. So I wouldn't be too worried about them.
And of course, Councillor Warnock, the Save Leitrim movement, synonymous in the fight against large afforestations in the county. What's the latest situation for your group now at the minute?
Well, we're very busy on the making submissions and appeals, and we've had a number of oral hearings. We've had quite a bit of success. Well, what we would call it success, because the Forestry Appeals Committee have had to resend them back to the department to have, you know, to start again in the process of the license. The license are badly held up. But, our point is, like, Save Leitrim is going nowhere. We have, even though it costs €200 to appeal them, it costs €20 for an objection. We will have to soldier on with this, because with 32,000 hectares planted, There has never been an environmental impact assessment undertaken by anybody in Leitrim in relation to the, you know, the overall damage or else of forestry in the county. You know, so and the Leitrim farmers, as I said to you, there's only 240 of them with trees planted. So you're talking about Quilcha and other big companies that owns the rest of the land. So you know, we have a battle. We have a battle on our hands, but we're in it for the long haul. Like, we're waiting to get into the High Court. Like, we have an awful lot going on. Even though in lockdown, we have had over a dozen oral hearings since the beginning of January, and we've had quite a bit of success in them. We would have won over probably 7 or 8 of them. So we're going on anyway. And there are a lot of other counties we're working with, other counties as well. They're always contacting us about forestry that's next to them. Like, nobody, the government or nobody takes into account what's, you know, like the implications when a forest is grown close to a house or close to a farm, like the implications of it. There's nothing done. And as it happens, the Sitka spruce that is growing in a lot of these areas is, it's the rubbish of all trees. Like, it's it's only for pulping. Like, we heard the crying about from the industry about the timber into the construction. You wouldn't allow it in. As anybody knows, any farmer knows, or anybody knows, if you buy a bit of it for a garden fencing or for a paling post, 4 or 5 years, and it has to be replaced because it rots, regardless of how much treating that they do on the timber. So it's not a timber that can be used in the construction by any means. As we all know, there's more timber imported to Ireland for the construction thing. Most of our stuff is all exported to the UK, and anybody that lives near the border can see, you know, truck after truck after truck of skittles. That's what one would call them, because it's not timber. It's very light, you know, timber that's been all exported. So it's not an industry that, you know, it's not an industry that's viable anywhere, because if there was no grant to fence and to plant, there'll be nobody planting trees. And I think that there'll have to be an overhaul of forestry policy anyway, because there is no way that the Irish taxpayer can keep funding this and no return on the investment. There is no return on it. Like, they talk about jobs, there's only a handful of jobs in Leitrim in it. And as I said, there's 3,400 farmers in Leitrim that's bringing in more to the economy of Leitrim than any forestry. So, you know, that's where we're coming from. And our aim is to protect our environment, our heritage and our culture, and Save Leitrim will soldier on over the next year or 2 years or 10 years. No matter how long it takes, we are going to be in this battle for the long haul.
Ocean FM's Agri Week with John Lynch.
And finally for this week, I want to return to a story that we covered extensively last week on the programme. Those horrific dog attacks in County Sligo. And the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association is calling for all the red tape to be removed when it comes to the control of dogs and the protection of sheep. The Irish Natura Hill Farmers Association's president is Colm O'Donnell from Kilmacteag in County Sligo. He says that there continues to be a scattered approach when it comes to dealing with the ongoing problem of dog attacks on sheep. Now, he's been telling Niall Delaney on the North West Today show earlier this week that a streamlined approach is needed.
You'd wonder why we have so much red tape, and red tape is something that's talked about. When we looked into what was actually going on here, it seems like there's three departments, government departments, involved in, number one, the Department of Community and Rural Development, which is now Social Protection and Community and Rural Development. They have responsibility for the licensing of the dogs. The Department of Agriculture, the competent authority for microchipping. And then you have the administration, the county councils and the dog wardens, etc., which was under the Department of Environment, and that's now changed to Housing, Local Government and Heritage. So we made a submission to the to government in 2019 highlighting this, and a call for the responsibility to be brought centrally under one department, because this is unacceptable when you have three reams going on. And that was the point we were making, Niall. One will pass the book to the other until we get a serious commitment from government that they will streamline this into one central clearinghouse where all these elements are centralised into one unit that can administer this.
Well, that's about it from this edition of Agri Week. Thank you very much for the pleasure of your company. Don't forget, we're back again next week at the same time. And as always, there will be a podcast of this show and indeed other Agri shows available on the Ocean FM website and indeed wherever you get your podcasts from. So you can have a listen again if you so wish. From myself, John Lynch, from all of us here on the Agri Week programme, thank you so much indeed for listening. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye for now.